We're just humbled and honored to be here with you. As you know, I think it was last June I was here. Sharon wasn't with me. I was with Pastor Ed down the road, and Pastor Ed's a real good friend of mine, and we greet you from Utica, New York, and from Tequesta, Florida. We have two places, and we're swaying more down south as the winters get colder, so and we get older. There it rhymes. Hallelujah. Glory to God. So, you know, we're just blessed. Yesterday was awesome. We're looking forward to tonight. If you can shake yourself free, come on out, because we don't know what God's going to do. You know, people were trying to stay up in the upper bleachers yesterday. God finds you, you know. He knows your number, you know. If he knows every hair that's on your head, which for me it's easy for him, but for others, he'll find you, okay? So we're just blessed of the Lord, and we thank you for your hospitality. Amen?
Amen.
Well, let's do this thing, okay? Love you. All righty. God bless. This May will be 44 years that we have been married, so it's pretty cool. Someone said, you have 11 grandchildren? I said, yep. And they go, you don't look it. And I says, well, I feel it. I want to share a word with you this morning that I believe that God has really put on my heart for just not myself and my wife, but I feel the way things are going in the world today. This is a great word, especially for the house of God. And if I had to put a title on it, I would title it, Guard Your Faith. Guard your faith. In Ephesians 6:16, it says, In every battle, you will need faith as your shield to stop the fiery arrows aimed at you by Satan. How many here today feel you're walking with God? Just put your arms up. How many feel that you're walking daily with God in faith? Okay. And how many walk with God daily in strong faith? Okay. Well, in Genesis 5:24, we're told about a man. His name was Enoch. You don't hear much about him. And it says that Enoch walked with God, and he was not, for God took him. Wow. Enoch walked with God, and he was no longer here because God took him. Imagine Enoch's walking with strong faith with God, and all of a sudden, he doesn't die, just boom, he's gone. He's up with God. That's the kind of faith that I want. I don't know about you, but this is one of the most remarkable things. Enoch's faith was so strong that he vanished out of this world to be with God. And he was in the arms of God. And only other man was said in the Word of God to walk with God, and that was Noah. And actually, there are only two men in the Old Testament who did not die. One was Enoch, and the other was Elijah. How'd you like to go up to heaven riding a chariot, man? Glory to God. Not in your Prius, in a chariot. All right. Do you know what Enoch's name means? His name means to be dedicated. Wow. See, I'm going to talk to you this morning about one of my second favorite stories in the Bible. And but before I do that, I want you to know it's time for us to stop meditating on our own situations. Ushers, you may want to go get some boxes of Band-Aids because we're going to need them shortly for all of us here. But we need to start looking at the promises that God has given to us, and not our own situations. You see, Enoch talked with God. He praised God every day. The man was 365 years old. Wow. That equates to, because I like numbers, 133,225 days of walking with God. I want His Word to be part of my everyday life. I don't want situations or what's going on in the world to start to dictate my life. So if you would, if you have your Bibles, I was asked if, wow, I am losing here, wow. Anyway, I would like you to turn to 1 Samuel 17, and I'm going to read to you a little bit today, and I apologize for that, but starting in verse 4, and I'm reading out of the New Century Version. It says, "The Philistines had a champion fighter from Gath named Goliath. He was about 9 feet tall, 4 inches. He came out of the Philistine camp with a bronze helmet on his head, a coat of bronze armor that weighed about 125 pounds. He wore bronze protectors on his legs, and he had a bronze spear on his back. The wooden part of his large spear was like a weaver's rod, and its blade weighed about 15 pounds. The officer who carried his shield in front of him, and Goliath stood and shouted to the Israelite soldiers, 'Why have you taken positions for battle? I am a Philistine, and you are Saul's servants. Choose a man and send him to me.'" Verse 9, "If he can fight and kill me, we will be your servants. But if I can kill him, you will be our servants." Verse 10, "And then he said, 'Today I stand and dare the army of Israel. Send one of your men to me.' When Saul and the Israelites heard the Philistines' words, they were very scared." Wow. If you check the manners and the customs of when this was taking place, in the Eastern world, what they would do is they would send a representative into battle, one-on-one fight. And whoever won that battle was a victor. So that's what Goliath was saying. But can I say something to you, and I say this with all humbleness. Goliath's words had power over the Israelite army. How do we know that? Because it says they were very scared. Goliath is an example of yours and my personal situations that we deal with every day in our lives. Let me say to you, there will always be giants in our lives. We need to know how to name them and how to slay them. And when we open the door to those things, like Goliath was shouting across the ravine, and we open the door to those words as they're coming at us, those threats, we are opening the doors to Satan's threats to our own lives. I want to equate this story to what we're dealing with today. Do you know that Satan knows the power of word? The powers of words, he uses that today to instill fear and dismay. And when you get into a place of dismay in your life, hopelessness comes upon you. Hope deferred comes upon you, and your joy and your forward momentum stagnates. Wow, it is a Presbyterian church here, isn't it? It is quiet. All right. It's okay. The devil's a liar. Come on now. We got to believe this. I've been there myself. God, on the other hand, always speaks the truth. Come on. Come on now. Listen. Satan is attacking families. I don't know if it's happening here in Canada, but back home in the States, he's attacking families. The family, can I say this to you? I believe the family is the most important thing to God. He created the family before he created the church. Think about it. The church is to be a family of families. The family is under a great attack today, and we've got to see it and understand it. And Satan's first attack was against the family. Think about what he did to Adam and Eve. And he is still waging war to destroy the family of God as God intended it. Listen, the family's being ripped apart. We've got people in the States, I don't know about here in Canada, that are professing they have no gender. Okay, I won't go there. But I believe that Satan is targeting the youth of this generation between the ages of 11 and 24. He is going after them. We, as saints, as warriors, we got to wake up and we got to understand. You know, do you know what Satan uses as his main weapon? Apathy. Apathy is unconcern. Apathy is a disinterest. It's carelessness wrapped in disinterest and carelessness wrapped together. It also includes negligence. It includes indifference. And it includes being lethargic. The church cannot be sleeping right now. We have to wake up. We can't let the spirit of apathy come upon us. Do you know what else apathy is? Being not committed. Well, wait a minute. You know, we got to go to church at 10 o'clock. You know, there's something else going downtown. It's shinier than church. We need to go there. No, that's lack of commitment. When you let Jesus Christ into your life, the Bible says he's a jealous God. And he wants all of the attention. And when you say, church, hockey game, bowling, no, church first. God first. Come on. We've got to be committed. We've got to be committed to what God has called us for. You know, apathy, you know, I don't have a lot of time. The A in apathy is A-P-A-T-T-Y. It means without, and pathy means feeling. So it means to have no passion or to have no feeling. What does apathy sound like? I'll tell you. I don't care. And my daughter's favorite word when she was a teenager, and I can't even use the word anymore, I'm going to spit it out right now, whatever, Dad. If I ever heard whatever one more time. And so finally one of my friends says, you know what whatever means? And I go, no. And they go, they don't care. You think what you want, I'm going to think what I want. And by the way, what I'm thinking is, I know more than you, Dad. I know you more than you, Abba Father. Or, don't bother me with that, or I don't want to know. And the best one for our youth, my mom and dad make me go. Let's read on. Verse 16. You okay? Hallelujah. Strap in, it's going to get better. For 40 days, the Philistine came out every morning and every evening, and he stood before the Israelite army. And Jesse said to his son David, take a half a bushel of cooked grain and 10 loaves of bread to your brothers in the camp. Also take 10 pieces of cheese to the commander and your brothers. See how your brothers are and bring back some proof to show me they are right. Your brothers are with Saul and the army in the Valley of Elah, which means an oak, fighting against the Philistines. Early in the morning, David left the sheep with another shepherd. He took the food and left Jesse, as Jesse told him. When David arrived at the camp, the army was going out to their battle positions, shouting their war cry. And when I read this, it reminds me of when I get up in the morning and I start to pray and I start to declare, God, you are good. Lord, you are for me. If you're for me, who could be against me? I am victorious. I mean, don't you? I get up in the morning and I start shouting those things just like the Israelites are. Israelite army did. And it says the Israelites and the Philistines were lining up the men to face each other in battle. And David left the food with the man who kept the supplies and ran to battle, the battle line, to talk to his brothers. While he was talking with them, Goliath, the Philistine, champion of Gath, came out. And he shouted things against Israel as usual. And David heard him. And in verse 24 it says, when the Israelites saw Goliath, they were very much afraid and ran away. I don't know about you, but there are some mornings I get up, in the name of Jesus, I am a conqueror through my God who strengthens me. And then all of a sudden, something comes against me, and I run away, and I'm very afraid. Look, I'm an open book. I'm going to tell you. Been there, done that. When we declare the goodness of the Lord, we have got to guard and shield our faith, and we have got to know that God is on our side. And no matter what Satan is whispering in your ear, no matter what circumstance he's bringing against you, you will be victorious because God loves you. Come on now. He loves you. He loves me. He loves you. You know, if you don't believe it, read Mark 12, verse 30. You'll find out. He loves us. He loves us. They were very much afraid, and they ran away. Why? If you get anything out of this, here's what you got to get. They became unguarded as the enemy was getting closer. We have got to have perimeter alarms around our hearts and our spirits that go off when the enemy starts to come. How do we do that? We've got to recognize the wiles of the enemy. Do you know he's the same enemy that was? He just disguises himself to meet today's technologies and today's ways and means. But note this, and I want you to, if you get the second thing I want to bring to you, here it is. It says in the Word, Goliath now crossed the ravine at the base of the valley. He was now on Israel's side. See, every day he came out, he took a couple more steps toward the Israel army. And he was doing this twice a day for 40 days. Think about this. He was a giant, 9'4". So one step for him was a pretty good step. And he was doing it twice a day for 40 days. And suddenly, he's on the Israel side. The army's side. He was defining the character of this army by his hollow words and his words that were defeating their hearts and defeating their minds. But can I tell you something? If you tolerate Goliath in your life, he will take over your territory. Well, I don't know what happened. Suddenly, you know, I was going through this, and next thing I know, oh my God, it's on me. Yeah. Yeah. You cannot allow Satan to keep putting fear in your heart and scaring you and encroaching on your territory of your heart, your mind, and your spirit. You have got to be on guard. And in verse 25 and 26, it says, they said, look at this man. He's coming out to challenge Israel. The king will give much money to whoever kills him. He will also let whoever kills him marry his daughter. And his father's family will not have to pay taxes. David asked the men who stood near him, what will be done to reward the man who kills the Philistine and takes the shame from Israel? And the response was, David kept going, and he says, who does this uncircumcised Philistine think that he is, that he can speak against the armies of the living God. Listen, listen. Knock up there and wake up. Nothing, nothing, nothing can speak against our God. When someone starts speaking against your God, you rise up. Something needs to rise up inside of you and say, wait a minute, that's my God. I was bought with the blood of the Lamb. That Lamb's blood was shed for me. You're not going to speak against my God. You're not going to get a hold of my children. You're not going to get a hold of my checkbook. You're not going to get a hold of my home. You're not going to get a hold of my life. Come on now. Can I tell you, Pastor, I tell people this all the time. Satan's not after your checkbook. He's not after your children. He's not after your job. And you, everybody looks at me like I'm crazy. No, he's after your confidence. Because if he can get your confidence, he's got your children, he's got your job, and he's got your checkbook. You have got to be confident of this very thing. I don't know about you, but I'm having fun. I said it yesterday, and I'm going to say it again today. You are not designed to tolerate giants. You were designed to kill them. Come on now. I'm not going to let any giant take me over. You know, Satan plants seeds in your mind like this. Worship was dull today. Or better yet, oh, that sermon. I don't know about Pastor Ron. I think the elevator stopped going to the penthouse suite. Oh, let the staff do it. They get paid for it. Why should we volunteer? What good is praying doing? My prayers aren't being answered. Oh, this church isn't going to make it. It's all hype. Tithe? Really? And then you go all over the internet searching everybody that's against tithing, and then you try to make your case from it. Let me say something to you. The only place you're going to make your case is right here.
Nah, I can't afford to tithe.
Got news for you. Don't go there. That's another time. Listen to the words of Jesus in John 10, 27 and 28. My sheep know my voice, and I know them. They follow me. Wow. And I give them eternal life so that they'll never, say never, be lost. No one can snatch them out of my hands. Wow, there's a scripture to rely on. When you're going through, when Satan is coming after you, understand something, that Jesus, we got to know his voice. Can I ask you something this morning? Whose voice are you listening to? Well, I'm going to step on some toes now. I'm not in America, so I can step on them. I'm going to use Oprah. Going to listen to some of our Hollywood stars that God is just ripping through Hollywood now, exposing everything and anything that needs to be exposed. Someone said to me a while back, boy, Hollywood's getting away with it. I says, no, they're not. Not with the God we serve. Come on now. Listen, I still pray for them. But you know what? It's time. God is saying, I'm coming back for my bride, and, you know, I said it yesterday, I'm going to say it again. The bride has got to get the mud packs off our faces, get out of curlers, get out of our robes and get dressed, and start worshiping and praising the Lord our God, who gives us every substance that we have. David, now listen, David listened to Goliath, but he knew it was the devil speaking through him. That's called discernment. We as Christians need to know how to discern The voice of God. The Bible says the sons of Issachar understood the times that they were living in. We have got to understand who is at the base of all of this. Who is causing all of this? It is the enemy. It is Satan, and he's trying to stir things up. And what we've got to do when we've got discernment and things are coming against the church, things are coming against our pastor and his wife, things are coming against our leaders, things are coming against our reputation, we need to stand up and say, who is this uncircumcised Philistine that is speaking and spewing these lies? We got to stand up. We've got to be bold. We've got to be courageous. And we've got to have no fear. Do you know, Pastor, I'm going to say this to you. I submit this to you. I don't know how it is here in Canada, but back home, I believe people have lost the fear of God. Listen, I was born and raised a Catholic. Even before I got saved, I feared God. How can we escape apathy? Can I give it to you? We're doing great on time. How can we escape apathy? These are really tough, so, you know, if you're taking notes, you know, bear with me. I'm sorry, I got a little deep here. How do we escape apathy? Wake up! Wake up! I had a friend once. I was kind of getting hysterical. It was before I was saved. I was younger. He slapped me in the face. You ever see that in a movie? Slapped me. I go, what are you doing? He goes, what I just did, I sobered you up. I woke you up. You were going off in a tilly. 40 days, twice a day, Goliath shot negative confessions, curses, and taunts at the Israelite army. Wow. 40 days, twice a day of ranting and persistence to break that army down. Do you understand that Goliath is out to, Satan is out to break down your will, to break down your confession, to break down your faith, to break down the memories of what God the Father did for you, that he sent his only begotten Son, that you might have everlasting life? That's what Satan's trying to do. He's trying to pull you out of the kingdom camp and pull him into his Goliath camp. We've got to wake up. We got to make a noise. Church is being too silent. Church needs to make a noise. That ain't how it ought to be. Our God says that's not how it should be. How do we break apathy? We got to trust God. Don't believe what you're hearing. Don't believe in man's report. Believe in the report of the Lord. If God be for you, who can be against you? It's my favorite scripture in Romans 8:31. How else? Here's one. Try this one. Block out negativity. Close the door on negativity. I mean, listen, I'm around Christians that they're so negative, you think their mother weaned them on a dill pickle. Praise the Lord. I don't know about you, but the Bible says we're supposed to have the joy of the Lord. Spring forth, oh well. Don't spew forth negativity. Spring forth, oh well. What's in that well? It's a well of salvation that we tapped into. That well of salvation is Jesus Christ. Come on now. We're either kingdom's kids or we're dill pickle kids. Come on now. Don't let negative words have an entrance into your heart. Give no credibility to empty words. Proverbs 4:21 says, guard your heart, keep your heart with all diligence, because out of it flow the issues of life. We've got to guard our hearts. We got to wake up and shake off the negativity and shake off the dust of the world. Don't be intimidated. Well, I don't like what I'm seeing on the news. Turn it off. Don't let the devil wear you down. Don't let him push you into a corner. When the devil pushes you, you kick him back. You've got authority over him. Don't let that apathetic spirit hold you down. Apathy, can I say something to you? Apathy is like quicksand. You just get into it, and before you know it, you're going deeper and deeper, and you don't even know what's happening until it's too late. How else can we get rid of apathy? Can I give you another one? Number two? You ready? Strengthen the things that remain. Strengthen the things that remain. Revelation 3:2 says, "Now wake up! Strengthen what little remains, for even what is left is at a point of death." The devil is weak, God is strong. Say it with me. The devil is weak, God is strong. I can't hear you. The devil is weak, God is strong. We got to believe that. Say this with me. The devil wants me to fail. God wants me strong. We got to believe it. Either we believe that, you know, people come to church, they get all excited. I remember before I was saved, there was a saved lady in our church. She was the most negative person you ever saw in your life. She would turn you in for anything. But on Friday, she'd say, "Why don't you come to my church and be blessed of God?" Your church? They teach? Do they teach what you do all week? No, praise God. No, God is good, God is good. You know, then we'd come back on Monday morning, you'd say to her, "Ethel, good morning. What's good about it?" Come on now. There's nobody in here in this church that's like that, so don't worry about it. Luke 9:1 says, "Then he called his 12 disciples together, and he gave them what? Power and authority." We have power and authority over all devils and over all diseases. We got to believe that. Don't buy into a lie. God wants to upgrade our hearts. Do you know this? Listen to this sequence. I'm going to read it to you because I wrote it this way. I don't want to miss a beat here. Apathy causes you to lose what you once had. Apathy causes a downgrade in life. Apathy creeps in and is subtle. Next to go is your prayer life, because it becomes a real chore to pray because that apathetic spirit is getting on you. And the next to go is your desire to hang around with other church people or other Christians, you know, and, you know, hanging with light does expose darkness, so we don't want to be around the people of the light because we're slipping quick here. And at this point, pretty soon you stop coming to church. Getting real quiet. And at this point, Satan comes in and he offers something better, and suddenly none of it seems wrong. And you start to justify why you did what you did. And you have been stripped from the fold. David spoke with authority. Can I tell you, when you speak with authority, that is faith being imparted in you, and your faith is so strong that when you speak, there is an authority that comes with it. We have got to have faith. We need to be teaching our children about faith. You know, as a mother and a father, you should be, you know, when things are going wrong, don't worry, son, don't worry, daughter. We're going to do this because God is for us. We're going to pray. We're going to intercede. We're going to call friends and ask them to pray with us because the Bible says where two or more are gathered in His name, there He is in the midst of them. So, you know what? We're going to do this. We teach our children about faith by living faith. And if you're not living a faithful life, then what are you teaching them? David exposed the lies of Goliath. He had no power against the armies of the living God, and he told Goliath that, "You have no authority." David knew the devil is a liar and a thief. David did not hear threats. He heard empty words. Can I say something to you? Just like Nehemiah, when he was being bombarded by the three stooges, can I tell you something? Don't listen to the threats. They're only threats. Remember, sticks and stones may break my bones, but words will never hurt me. Listen, you gotta believe that those are empty words, and when Satan is blowing empty words at you, there's no power, there's no truth in them. And David had such great faith in God that he believes that as long as the people trusted in God, there was no enemy that they could not conquer. You have got to, I have got to, trust in God. He goes before us. He makes a way where there seems to be no way. That's how much He loves us. David spoke words. Listen to this. Here's another one if you walk away with this. David spoke words of life and healing to the soldiers. When your back is against the wall, you need to remind Satan, "Do you know who you are? You have no right to taunt me, Savior, or Satan. You were defeated by Jesus Christ. When He went to Calvary, you got your head smashed, as it was prophesied in Genesis, and therefore, you've got no authority in my life. Hit the road, Jack. I have my God, and I have the promises of God, and the promises of God will not fail me." Come on, we got to believe this. We got to believe this. I'm not going to run away. I'm not going to let fear. I'm not going to become very afraid like it said in here. No one talks about my God that way. And you're not going to talk about me that way. And I'm not going to run away. I'm going to get in your face. Can I say something to you? The coolest thing about this story, it blew my mind. This was David's first day on the battlefield. The others were there for 40 days. 40 days! Twice a day, 80 times. They had to listen to the empty words of Goliath, and it was defining their lives. David shows up one day, the 41st day, and he speaks with power and authority, and he embraces the confidence that God gave him. And look what happens in verse 38 to 51. "Then Saul gave David his own armor, a bronze helmet and a coat of mail. David put it on, strapped the sword over it. He took a step or two to see what it was like. He had never worn such a thing before. And he said, 'I can hardly move,' he exclaimed, and he took it off again." Do you know what that speaks to me? You can't go to war wearing somebody else's armor. You got to take the armor God has given you, and you go to war with that. Come on. Ooh, I hope I have a voice for tonight. Don't worry, I do. It says, "Then he picked up 5 smooth stones from the stream, and he put them in his shepherd's bag, armed only with his shepherd's staff and sling, and he started across to Goliath." You know, in the New King James, it says, David hastened to Goliath. He ran to Goliath. And Goliath walked out toward David with his shield bearer ahead of him, sneering in contempt at this nice little red-cheeked boy. "Am I a dog?" he roared at David, "that you come to me with a stick?" And he cursed David by the names of his gods. "Come over here and I'll give your flesh to the birds and the animals," Goliath yelled. And David shouted in reply, "Folks, put your name in there." Charlie shouted with a reply. Oh, Lord, help me. Today, the Lord will conquer you, and I will kill you, and I will cut off your head, Goliath. I will cut off your head, spirit of poverty. I will cut off your head, spirit of infirmity. I will cut off your head if you touch my children. I will cut off your head if you touch my job or my finances. Come on now. And then I will give the dead bodies, I will cut you up and I'm going to feed you to the birds and the animals. Because Goliath, before that, says to him, "You know, I'm going to do the same thing to you. I'm going to kill you and feed you to the animals." And he goes, "No, you're not. You're not going to do that to me because I'm going to take you out." "Well, what do I got? I only got 5 stones. You know what those stones represent to me? Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John in the book of Acts. I believe that David was so confident he was going to take out Goliath that he picked up 5 stones and he knew, "I'm going to take him out. I got 5 stones. With those 5 stones, he's gone. But I got a feeling I'm only going to need 1 stone. In verse 47, it says, "And Israel will learn that the Lord does not depend on weapons to fulfill his plans. He works without regard to human means. He will give you to us." As Goliath approached, David ran out to meet him. Reaching into his shepherd's bag, he took out a stone. He hurled it from the sling. He hit the Philistine in the forehead. The stone sunk in, and the man fell on his face to the ground. So David conquered the Philistine giant with a sling and a stone. Since he had no sword, he ran over and pulled Goliath's from its sheath and killed him with it, and he cut off his heads. And when the Philistines saw their champion was dead, they turned and they ran. Come on. Think about this. He's cunning. David. Here we go. Key points. David came to the battlefield determined to win. When you face your Goliath, you have got to be determined, "I'm going to win. I'm going to beat this thing." What giant? The only giant in my life is Jesus Christ of Nazareth. He rolled away the stone. And he arose. That Goliath is just a dwarf over there. My God is omnipotent. He is ever powerful. He is almighty. He has unlimited authority. And guess what, Satan? He's on my side. Don't look at the 9-foot-4-inch circumstance Goliath in your life. Look beyond the circumstances. Be determined to win against all odds. Goliath wasn't a burden that wore David down, because David knew his God. We need to see our situations. We need to see our dilemmas. We need to see our addictions. We need to see our fears. We need to see whatever is in our life and understand we belong to God. And if we belong to God, those things can be taken off of us quicker than they were put on us. It's time for us to go to war, church. It's time for us to pick up our mantles that God has put before us. Again, I can't wear Pastor Ron's armor. His armor is too different. I have to find who I am in Christ. You know what? The church is losing its identity today. People don't know who they are in Christ. If you don't find your identity in Christ, it won't be found in the world. It won't be found in your job. It'll be found in Him. And once you identify with who you are in Christ, you're unstoppable. Come on. You're unstoppable. Unstoppable. My poor wife, she lives a lonely life sometimes in the room. You know, she gets up this morning, she's trying to talk to me, and God is speaking to me, and I hand wrote this, and I just want to give it to you, and then we're going to pray for some people. We're going to get out of here because we want to get back here tonight because God's got some awesome things going on. I prayed over a guy in the prayer room, Walt, you know, I had his name yesterday, didn't know that was him, and he just gets buried with a word, and I'm like, you know what, where's Walter? Stand up, Walter. Would everybody just stretch your hands toward Walter? If you're around him, put your hands on him right now. Come on, put your hands on him. Lay hands. We believe in the power of laying out of hands. What time's your appointment tomorrow, Walter? We're going to believe right now that God divinely called his name. We're going to believe for a fresh healing in the name of Jesus Christ of Nazareth. Lord, we thank you for Walter right now. We thank you, Lord God Jesus, for calling out. You know, God knows our name. He calls us by name. Our names are inscribed in the palm of his hands. He can't leave us or forget us. So we add our faith to yours right now, Walter, and we're believing that for a good report from the doctor's office tomorrow. In Jesus' precious name we pray. Amen. Listen, let me say something to you. Let me say this to you. Let me say this to you, and please don't be upset with me, but the Lord started to give me this morning. God wants to take the mixture out of our hearts. We're in training for eternity. What is eternity? Immortality with Christ. Though the enemy may slay me, I trust in you, Jesus, because either way, I win. Remember Paul in the prison? Whether I live or whether I die, I win. Come on. Oh, you can clap. Come on. I'm all done with playing what if in my life. What if this happens? What if that happens? Who cares? God is in control of my life. We teach our children when they're this high, where does Jesus live? In my heart, somewhere between a child and an adult, we forget Jesus' address. He's in your heart. He's in there. He's in there. He's in there. I'm done blaming God. People blaming God, I blamed God once. I said, how could you let this happen to me? I'm done with the what ifs. I'm done with blaming God. Transition is coming. There is a storm that is coming. We're in it. And you need to know that storms are necessary in our lives to prepare us for something new. And if you want something new, you got to wager and you've got to push through the storms. There's too much pressure in my lives. There's too much going on. Suck it up. You're not a loser. You're a winner. Suck it up. Pressure realigns our priorities in our lives. Jesus is in your boat. Don't fear. Yeah, but he's sleeping. No, he's not. You know, I tell people, he comes in the darkest hour. If we don't lose faith, You know, when he come walking toward that boat on the water, if you study the time he came, that's the darkest point of the night. He comes in our darkest hour. He never leaves or forsakes us. Your faith has got to start to rise in your heart. You might say, I have faith. No, let's have strong faith like Enoch had. God is raising up a generation that will know their God is with them. Come on. I want that Joshua. You know, Moses spent, you could study all you want. You know, they're saying billions, millions in that time. I don't know. All I know is a lot of stinking money. But he paid to have something finished that he knew he would not see finished, but he so loved his God that he wanted this next generation to love God even more. It's not what you do in life that counts. It's what you set in motion that does. And it's time for us to pick up our mantles, and it's time for us to start running with us. We've got to know this. God is with me. God is with you. God is in this place, Christ City Church. God is in the region. God is in Edmonton, in the surrounding areas. He's not done with you. He's not done with me. He's not done with your cities, and he's not done with the nation. He has just begun to do what he said he would do. And for that, we need to give a victory cry. We need to shout out that our God is a mighty God. He is victorious in all that we do. Hallelujah. Hallelujah.